You are now entering Deadland. Do you have what it takes to survive the end of the world? In the zombie apocalypse, the walking dead are the least of your worries. Welcome to Deadland, the heart-pounding audio drama that pits a small group of survivors against a world gone mad. Led by Nicole Bennett, their only hope is a distant secret government sanctuary in the Colorado mountains. But the 1,000-mile journey across the treacherous Deadlands will reveal a terrifying truth. The human cost of survival is far more dangerous than any infected horde. Every decision is a matter of life or unlife. Every stranger is a potential killer. Every breath is a privilege. Get ready for an immersive soundscape of terror and hope. Will Nicole and her group make it to the safe zone, or will they become another meal for the hungry masses? Subscribe to Deadland on Apple Podcasts, Audible, or wherever you get your audio drama fix. The dead are walking, and your journey starts now. Fellowship of the Wheel. Fellowship of the Real. Four friends in a movie. This time we are doing Galaxy Quest. It's my pick. But we want to start off, of course, with Sherry's queries. Sherry, you ready? Mm-hmm. All right.
It's notable quotables.
Notable quote. Damn it. It's been a little while, okay?
Well, it should be. I was thinking about this. I was listening to some episodes, and you do have quotes, and then you do have questions.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's both. It could be Sherry's definitely could be both, but and notable quotables.
Yeah, that's true.
So on today's episode, it's a notable quote.
Yeah, that's a good way to smooth that out. Thank you, sir. You have to understand that there's usually big lapses between our recordings, just enough for me to completely forget what the hell we're doing and how we do it.
And I recently found out that there's someone on Fox News that has notable quotables, too.
Oh, yeah. They have a thing called notable quotables, yeah.
Sons of bitches.
Bastards.
I don't know. All right.
They don't have queries, though, huh? They don't have Sherry's queries.
No.
All
right.
Okay. Let's see. Let me see if I can read. We're doing Galaxy Quest.
Galaxy Quest.
Now, these are lines, and they're so easy, but they are lines from people who are in this movie, but from other movies their lines are from.
That sounds good.
And I can do it. I can do it to where I can start the line, and if y'all want to try to finish it.
Wait a minute. What's going on here? Say it again.
All the actors that are in this movie.
Oh, yeah. There are
these
lines.
These are quotes.
From them
in other movies.
Oh, gotcha.
I didn't say it probably.
No, I was half listening to you.
I don't think you listened properly.
I didn't. I was.
And what I can do since they're so
on other
easy,
topics.
Since they're so easy, if I start it, can y'all finish it?
Well, we'll try to name the movie.
I guess we could try. You could pause and give us a moment. If none of us can finish it, you give us the rest of the line. And then,
yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
You ready?
Yeah.
Remember, these people were in...
Galaxy Quest.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're naming the movie and then trying to finish the line.
No. Just try to finish
Just try the finish line. Okay.
Or either
I guess
one.
If you can finish the line, you probably know who said it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Right. We'll try to finish the line. Got it. Okay.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Nice suit.
I have one just like it. It's Die Hard, Alan Rickman.
It is Die Hard.
Rumor has it Arafat buys his.
No, well, it's nice suit. John Phillips, London.
Yeah,
I have two myself.
Okay, yeah, we fucked that up, but we
that's Die Hard.
Die Hard for sure. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And it's Alan Rickman.
For some reason, I went to Edgar Suit, and I'm like, but no, that's not the guy. Okay, yeah.
Nice suit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rumor has it Arafat buys his there or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Yep. I only put the first part of it.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I forgot about the people being in the movie thing. So, yeah.
The what?
I forgot that it was people who were in Galaxy Quest. That's why I didn't immediately go to that. I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, people in Galaxy
Quest. Yes, they were. Yeah, okay, I got
these
it.
These are other movies they've done.
A little slow in the uptake.
Okay. And these are lines that they actually say.
Sure, yeah.
To infinity.
and Beyond.
Yeah, yes. That's a
Tim Allen, Buzz Lightyear, Toy Story.
Yes. Space Ranger.
Yes. All right. And I'm telling you, they're so easy, but...
Well, that first one, that was my fault.
Okay. There is no Dana.
Only
there
Zool.
Is only Zool.
There is only Zool. Yeah, only Zool. She says it both ways, I think. The first time she says there is only Dana, only Zool.
Yeah.
The second time she says it.
Yeah.
That's and that's
Dana Barrett.
My girlfriend's Weaver, a dog.
Ghostbusters.
Sleeps above the sheets.
Four.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I told you they were easy.
Okay. Those that was good.
But yeah, they're all these big time actors in this movie.
Yeah. No, this movie's stacked.
That have been in, you know, other great movies.
No, no doubt. All right. Good job, Sherry. We ready for Money Critics fans?
Yeah.
All right. Close Encounters was at 90 on the tomato scale for critics, and so is Galaxy Quest. The critics love this movie. 90% on tomato, a little lower than Close Encounters, and I think this score is low. I would have thought it was higher, and I want it to be higher. 79% of the fans rated this movie 3 stars and above with 100,000 ratings. So I don't know why the fans don't like this more. I mean, 79 is not bad. I would have thought much higher, though, because I like this movie, and I think I like it more than 79%. So I was a little taken back by that. That seemed low to me.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. It came out 99. That's what I'm showing.
Yeah, December 25th. It's a Christmas.
Christmas, 99. Very end of it.
Yeah. So we did a 77 and a 99. So that's interesting. All right.
December both.
Budget was $45 million, which...
A lot of special effects.
Yeah, a lot of special effects.
And salaries, I'd imagine. Tim Allen.
Oh, yeah. Tim Allen at this time was
He'd already done 2 Toy Stories, maybe the third one. I don't remember when that came out. And then he'd done, Santa Claus. And then, Home Improvement was running, right?
Yeah. So he was... Yeah. And at some point, he had, like, the top grossing movie, the best-selling book, and the top...
TV show
all at the same time.
I think that was around Santa Claus.
That's pretty cool.
I think so.
So, yeah.
He's big.
He was big at this time. Budget was what I said, $45 million. Domestic, it grossed $71 million. And international, $19 million for a total of $90,685,205 on a $45 million budget. So doubled his money. We always talk about marketing. So maybe they kind of broke even or made a few bucks.
It was just a good, solid movie that didn't really...
Didn't tank.
Burn the house down.
Right.
Type of money.
But right. But a good... Good solid movie that the critics and fans liked, and they didn't go to the cleaners on the budget, so they made at least their money back, if maybe not a little more. All right, anything else we want to talk about on that? Money Critics fans.
When was the first time you guys saw it?
Did you do the jingle for Money Critics fan?
Yeah.
I think so.
Sorry.
First time.
First time we saw it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, if it was in 99.
I don't know.
I don't think I saw it in theater. I think probably we rented must it or have, something.
Yeah.
Yeah, rented it.
My mom, huge Star Trek fan.
Yeah.
Gigantic. We saw this in the theater, like opening type of weekend, obviously, because Christmas time, so we're probably off. I loved it. I still think this is the best Star Trek movie.
Well, and it's even like branded as a love letter to Star Trek. I've seen that in,
it's just a good, fun time. I walked out of the theater being, Tim Allen, I was a huge fan of all the stuff.
Yeah.
I was, 15, 16 at the time.
Yeah.
So a target audience, target everything, loved it since the drop.
Yep.
Yeah. It's Three Amigos in Space,
Yeah. It's exactly what it is.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's
exactly right. Yeah, it wasn't groundbreaking, cinema. It wasn't anything new.
It's a solid, fun movie.
Yeah.
Looks
like the guy that wrote it, also did Men in Black 2. Jim Carrey's movie, A Series of Unfortunate Events.
Lemony Snicket?
Robert Gordon, he's a writer.
Right.
So him and David Howard did this movie. But yeah, love letter to Star Trek is all it is.
Absolutely. All right. All right, we ready for any other thoughts before we get into the beats?
Well, I have a question.
Sure.
Because I know these events are still big.
Cons?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But were they that big back then?
No.
Well, the first Star Trek convention probably had 100 people at it. Because I remember
was being there. And he took a head count.
Wow. But I don't know that they were a thing before, like, the Star Trek conventions. Because that started, that was just a few years after the original, maybe, series ended.
I mean, comic conventions have been going on since the 70s, 60s, yeah. 70s, I'd imagine. But they've been a small subset. So in 99, they were large enough to do, you know, small areas like this is depicted, but they weren't nearly as big as they are now.
No, because
San Diego Comic Con.
Now, yeah.
The one Star Wars had just come back in 99.
Well, you know what I mean?
We had the gap between 83 and 99. So
okay.
It was really starting to take off.
And comic movies hadn't really taken off yet. So,
because, they kind of make fun of, you know, especially Alan Rickman. He's just like, he feels he's above it.
Yeah, and, the theater. Yeah.
And, but I'm telling you, there is one I would love to go to, and that's Supernatural.
Yeah.
I'd love to see the cast of Supernatural. And I mean, their show's been off the air for how many years? And they still have their things. And then they have Paranormal.
Yeah. Now it's big
all
money.
All kinds of cons.
Yeah.
There's a thing I've heard of, but the people that they get to go to these cons, the celebrities or whatever, they will walk out of there with trash bags full of cash.
Oh, yeah. Well, $500 a signature or whatever they charge. You know?
Cash on cash. They make a ton of money on these things now. You know, back then, what this is depicting of a smaller show going to cons, I'm sure they made quite a bit of money.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they said something about $15 for his autograph. And I was like, yeah, now
that's cheap.
Not,
yeah, it would not be $15.
Yeah, we were talking, I think, many, many episodes ago of, you know, you meet your celebrities and all these guys are in a great mood. I'm like, shit, yeah, if I knew that every face I saw was paying me $50
or more,
I would be so happy.
Yeah, come back around again.
Yeah.
The first official Star Trek convention is widely recognized as having taken place from January 23rd or 21st to 23rd, 1971. So about 3 years after the series ended. At the Statler Hilton Hotel in New York City, it was organized by a group of passionate fans known as the Committee, who expected around 500 attendees, but more than 3,000 showed up, overwhelming the venue and setting the stage for decades of fan-driven events. So I don't know if that's the first, you know, official con of any kind, but 1972, just 3 years after the ending of the original.
There had to be comic book conventions. I remember hearing like George R. R. Martin writing to Marvel Comics back in the 60s. So, you know, there's that subculture has been around for a long time. And now it's more publicly accepted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even in the couple of years that I've been going to them, like that, I think back on the first time I went to one compared to the one I went to last year, it's grown so much. Like it's
really
almost where it's like, oh my God, all these fucking people. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. So many people know it's, you know,
it's good people watching.
Oh yeah,
sure. Oh, that's what. And when we lived in near San Diego, I told him, I said, let's go down
that
there.
That would be cool because that's the legit.
Yeah, we saw Comic Con. We didn't go in.
But I wanted to go sit outside and just watch people.
Yeah,
right.
But
The first known comic book convention took place on July 27th, 1964, in New York City, and was called the New York Comic Con or Comic Con 64. A modest one-day event held in a union meeting hall on 14th Street and Broadway with 100 attendees.
There you go.
Yeah. Artist Tom Gill, the Lone Ranger, gave a chalk.
How was it, though?
Huh? Yeah,
how was it?
You were there.
James said so.
Not getting into that. Phil Suling. George R.R. Martin claims he was the first person to ever buy a ticket to the event.
Look at this guy.
There you
fucking
go.
Fucking A, man.
Got all the facts.
Number two.
And you met Martin? Son of a bitch.
Okay. Put a mark for this to be deleted. All right. Yeah, so 64 and George R. R. Martin, who would go on to write Pedophilia. I mean,
come on now.
Whatever.
Yeah. Those books, man.
Dog killing Pedophilia. You know.
He did kill dogs. Yep.
Not interested in that. All right. George Martin. So I'll probably delete that because I don't want to get sued, but whatever.
Yeah, delete that. So
he'd have to take time to write it up. He's not writing anything else.
Damn right. Yeah.
He looks like he sits around a lot.
For sure.
Yeah.
I interrupted you before. You were going to do something else.
What was I going to do?
Did we already do money?
Okay.
So
the end of it.
We're still in that. We're going to do the beats.
Okay. The beat. Boy. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay.
You were going to do the sound.
Yeah. Are we ready for the beats? I guess anything else you want to say about?
just a funny side thing on Catboy and note. So Lace working on a story, right? He's always working on a story. He has a hard time finishing them. I give him a hard time. Well, I'm like, just finish something. And he has the same problem that I think I've gotten better at, but used to have. His worlds are too big.
Sure.
And I find myself saying to him what you said to me years ago about tell a story about one guy. Tell a story about a guy sitting in a chair. You know, like,
sure.
Just condense it. You got so much going on. But anyhow.
Yeah, sure.
I told him, obviously, if you're trying to crack a story, look at Blake Snyder's Save the Cat.
Like, yeah,
look
at those beats.
That's still the, regardless of format of story, whether it's a book, a script,
that's
the best way to break a story.
Finally, I think it gets you in quick. Yeah.
Yeah. So I forced him to sit down and write all the beats. Well, when he handed it to me, I go to read it right at the top. It says Catboy beats, and it made me laugh. Catboy because of you and I.
Well, I don't like saying, I can never hardly remember his name.
Yeah.
Blake Snyder. Okay, I got it. But
made me laugh that apparently I'd said it so much to him.
Yeah, Catboy.
Catboy.
Yeah. It's just, I don't have time for all that. All the syllables.
To me, saying Blake Snyder in movies, I automatically think Zack Snyder.
Yeah, right.
Superman. I'm like, what the fuck is a Superman guy doing?
Superman guy doing?
Yeah, no. Right. So I just I call him Catboy in my brain.
Yeah, Catboy is just is the name. All right, ready for
your
the
fault. Way to go.
It is.
Catboy's beats. Here we go.
Catboy's. Yep. All right, we ready for the beats then, Catboy?
Yep.
Which is why I put that cat sound at the end of that sound effect.
The cat porn, right?
Yeah, the cat porn for our cat boy.
And the name of the book is?
Save the Cat.
Save the Cat.
Is the first one, yeah.
Yes, okay.
And that's a reference to the movie Alien, because she saves the cat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, is that right?
I know
she saves the cat.
The term is save a cat. Like,
if you want your bad guy to be sympathetic, you have him do something nice like save a cat.
Right. I think it works for a hero, too, but yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what
she does save the cat, though.
Yep.
Yes, I was very concerned about that
cat. Same orange cat.
Anytime there's an animal in the movie, I get a little apprehensive. Like, no, don't do this.
Unless it's Pet Cemetery.
Whatever.
Then you know it's going to come back.
Nope. Yeah.
Sometimes dead is better.
If he's right. Ain't that the truth? All right. Galaxy Quest.
Oh, is that what we're reviewing?
I think so.
We didn't do this last time, but is this a dude with a problem?
Oh, yeah.
Is this a...
That's probably a Golden Fleece, maybe. Yeah. Where's your Catboy book? I didn't bring
it. Oh, right here. Yeah. So.
Yeah, Golden.
Golden Fleece. What did you call? You redubbed it last time, James. I don't remember what you said, but it was brilliant. But I don't remember what it was.
Oh damn! I come up with all kinds of stuff.
It's probably in there. We can pull it up.
Because you combined them, I think. Dude with a gold. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, no, it was.
I say stuff all the time.
Words come out of my mouth.
My mind wanders.
Listen, never mind. What would be Close Encounters, right? So, I mean, oh, shit.
Thunder.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what that was? I thought I'd made that noise with my headphones.
I was not prepared for that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Just
keep your hands off the soundboard, please.
Yes, right. We talked about Close Encounters. What would that be? I wonder.
Dude with a problem.
He's definitely got a problem.
Hey, quick.
We'll try to figure it out. But yeah.
All right. So Golden Fleece is a road spanning oceans, time, or across the street. Yeah. So long as it shows growth, it often includes a road apple that stops the trip cold, a team or buddy the hero needs to guide him along the way. Usually it's those who represent the things the hero doesn't have, skill, experience, or attitude.
Yeah.
A prize that's sought and is something primal, going home, securing a treasure, or regaining a birthright.
I could argue for regaining a birthright in the sense of, them being a crew and maybe not. We could talk about that when we get into the movie. I think the aliens definitely contain traits that he needs to have.
Mm-hmm.
Bravery, never surrender, kinship. Anyway, I could see Golden Fleece based on that. It's certainly a road trip.
Sorry, I'm looking at a dude with a problem, and it made me laugh. It's an innocent hero is dragged into a mess without asking for it or even aware of how he got involved, right? So I felt like that checks out. Sudden event that thrust our innocent into the world of hurt is definite and comes without warning. And then a life or death battle is at stake, and the continued existence of an individual, family, group, or society is in question. Well, the existence of his family is no more at the end, so...
Yeah, I think dude with the problem is close encounters. Yeah, I think James got it. I think that's right. Yeah. All right. Opening image. And I think this movie is fairly well structured. I don't remember having too many doubts, but we'll see. The opening image I have as a disgruntled and broken crew with a wayward captain. Okay, so this at the opening of this, this crew is not a crew. They are a loose affiliation of disgruntled people who have forgotten maybe what it means, or maybe never knew what it meant to be a crew.
They were just on a TV show together.
Yeah, and so I think they need to learn. Their opening image is of scattered and separation and not functioning as a unit, mm-hmm. relying on each other kind of thing, I guess are some words I would use.
They're all in it for themselves.
Yes, and the captain who should be leading them is off doing his own gigs, and mm-hmm. and his fellow cast members are upset about that, and they're at each other, and it's all very unrewarding and not anything that any of them want to be doing, but what else do they have to do? So it's a very almost sad state of affairs of this disheveled crew that is not functioning mm-hmm. together.
I was looking at this. It could be a fool triumph as well, especially if you look
fool
at
fool triumphant,
him.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a fool whose innocence is his strength and whose gentle manner makes him likely to be ignored by all but a jealous insider who knows too well. An establishment, the people or group a fool comes up against, either within his midst or after being sent to a new place in which he does not fit at first. Either way, the mismatch promises fireworks. A transmutation in which the fool becomes someone or something new, often including a name change that's taken on either by accident or as a disguise.
I could see that because he's
they're fake at first, right? They're pretenders, and then they become the real thing. By the end,
he is called Captain Taggart, but his real name is this, and he's certainly not functioning as any kind of captain of a
right. He's not leading shit.
Not leading shit. Yeah. So I think that's the opening state, and I think we're hitting on that. Anything else we want to talk about the opening is I think the opening image was set up well in terms of the dynamic of this group.
Yeah.
This is their beginning point, and we see that something needs to happen to change these people from where they are. I think the opening and closing are clear differences. Theme stated. Now, obviously, Never Give Up, Never Surrender is mentioned about 50 times. 51. And very likely the theme. Initially, until it dawned on me, wait a minute, they say that 50 times, so that's got to be the theme. Very early on, I picked when the captain says to Alan Rickman, when Alan Rickman wants to leave, the show must go on. And he's like, and he has to go back in. Mm-hmm. So they are coming apart at the seams, but it is important for the show to go on. Well, they don't even know why, and maybe they'll learn why. The show must go on. So the movie is an argument or a portrayal of them learning why it is important for this show that is their group to go on. But I think Never Surrender, Never Give Up is sort of echoes that because they are about to surrender.
Right.
Someone wanted to just give this up entirely, but it's important that you don't because there's reward in never giving up and never surrendering. So I think that's got to be something about the theme.
Yeah, all that tracks to me. Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. Any thoughts on that? I think they beat into your head, Never Give Up, Never Surrender, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Setup. Cast from an old hit show, working the cons and not feeling like shipmates. It's essentially it. I mean, I think when the captain is in the bathroom and he hears being mocked, he gets disgruntled. Like, even he is about to surrender. At that point, he's like signing them and flicking off, and then he goes off on the fans. It's just a TV show. He's given up. He's surrendering and giving up when he should never do that.
Right.
One of Justin Long's first movies. He's the fan.
Yeah, he's amazing. I like Justin Long in almost everything he does. I like him.
It was this one, and then I think Dodgeball was probably next.
Yeah.
He's always good.
Wasn't he in Die Hard?
Yeah,
I liked him.
Jeepers Creepers was right about this time,
too.
Oh,
yeah, Jeepers Creepers.
I just watched all of those movies except for the very last one because I didn't know if it was really... Have y'all seen all of those?
The first two, at least.
Yeah.
Okay, because I did have a question about that, but we're not discussing Jeepers Creepers, so... I'll discuss that another day.
Okay.
And then Sam Rockwell. Also,
oh, he's good. He's good in everything he does.
Yeah, fantastic.
I like Sam Rockwell.
He's the guy that's mediating the.
Yeah, he's like
the thing. The
crewmate 457. You know, yeah, I died before the first commercial break.
And now
maybe the plucky sidekick. You know, comedic relief.
And I like Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah, he was good in that.
Is so funny. And it's so funny how he's just so calm and just he loves it.
That's a hell of a thing. That's the line I quote from this movie the most. That's a hell of a thing.
What is that? He's like, they're saying that the ship is coming apart.
Coming apart. Just FYI. so that's the setup. Catalyst. Captain is beamed aboard a real spaceship and learns that this is not a gig. So he's obviously hungover.
Yeah, I love that. And the thing. It's just a Coke. Yeah, my eyes are closed, but I'm listening.
I'm listening. Just
keep going. Right.
Yeah, and he thinks it's a gig.
Show up at his house and shit. Hey, guys, you really crossed the line here.
Yeah, you talked about it, you know.
And Rainn Wilson was in that scene, too.
Yeah, very young.
Does he even speak? I don't know if he does.
I think he's the one where his voice box is broken or something.
That was the female translator was.
He may speak in the car. That's right.
Maybe so. So the catalyst is this. He thinks it's just another thing and learns it isn't. Quite quickly.
Yeah, because he demands, they approach him at the convention saying they need his help. And he's like, yeah, whatever. Don't talk about this in front of the other people. Yeah, it's kind of to the side or whatever.
Yes.
And makes all the demands, send a limo, we need this and that. And
right.
They do. They pick him up.
Hey, where's my limo? Debate.
Speaking of the limo, wait a minute. when they lift the limo up,
yes,
is the limo driver one of the aliens? I'm sure it's not. Yeah,
probably.
Is. Probably. I don't know. Or else he's just parked. I don't know.
And then of a sudden, where did they put the car? I mean, you know.
Because he didn't take the car back. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway.
It comes back 30 years later and he's not aged. Yeah.
Well, because the ship is there, but they don't take the ship back to Earth. They just blast him back to Earth.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
There's really, for the debate, he doesn't really debate it. Once he finds out it's real, but there is this argument between him and the rest of his crew about going on gigs without him, and no, we're not going, and so they leave, and he goes, and they're sitting in the van. They debate whether they should go on this adventure, and they were like, well, you might not ask us again. Let's just go.
Right.
Yeah, so he doesn't necessarily debate, but...
Yeah, like, when I was watching it again, I felt like it'd be stronger if he had debated, but he also didn't know... At this point, he doesn't know it's real. He didn't know what he was getting into, right?
The first time he goes to the ship.
Yes, but when he comes back, when he gets blasted back to Earth, he knows it's real.
Yeah, he had to know it was real at that point. You're right. Yeah,
he's all excited. It's real. These things talk to people in space. Yeah, they're props. We all have one. So they're in denial, and it's almost an equivalent beat to Close Encounters. You know, I saw it, and his wife's like,
right. And they think he's drunk or whatever.
Yeah, the hangover. Well, maybe he won't ask us again. Let's just go. And they have their catalyst.
They're like, when has he ever asked us to come to a side gig? Right. Wait a minute.
Yes.
That's right.
Denial and argument about going with the captain, and they decide to go. So obviously, if they didn't decide to go, it'd be no story. All right. Again, I don't think this movie's particularly deep. I think it's fun, and so these beats are fairly straightforward, in my opinion, which moves us right into the fun and games when they are beamed up, right?
Yeah.
I just wrote, that's a hell of a thing. They each have their different reactions, but generally, this is fairly mind-numbing. They're all, like, in catatonic states, hyperventilating, and...
The scream that Sam Rockwell does.
Yes.
Just pure shock.
Yes, he had to let it out. But Shalhoub, that's a hell of a thing. You know, unfazed. I thought that was a good comedic beat. Leaving port, you know, scraping a little paint, you know.
Right.
Dinner. Unfortunately, Rickman gets his native meal. That was not appetizing at all.
Snake surprise.
Yes. And then the torture scene. You should have a right to see it. And they torture. You know, at this point, I think there's almost a second debate at this point because the crew wants to get out of there. Now we're in the fix because this is real and the consequences are real. Crew revolt. They almost revolt.
Yeah, because he fired all the missiles or whatever at the guy the first time.
Yes.
That he didn't realize it was real.
Yeah. Right.
And pissed him off, yeah.
Sometimes I write these notes and I don't remember why. Negotiations with Suris. I guess we're the green thingy. You know, I guess they're scared or whatever. Like, you know, we're the ones that are going to be tortured to death next, you know. We talked about this just FYI, the ship is breaking apart. The minefield scene, they need a new sphere. So they have to go on the planet looking for a sphere, the little miners. Miners attack, loading the sphere.
Yeah, so when Sigourney Weaver having to repeat the computer, she's like, it's a stupid job. I got one job on this.
I'm going to do it. Yes.
Yeah.
Lots of good comedic beats throughout this. But nothing, you know, like nothing I don't think that's going to rock your world. It's just a good, solid comedic movie.
I forgot about the rock guy. I'd seen him, you know, seen it before, and then I forgot about rock guy. I don't know how I did that. But yeah, when he showed up this time, I was like, oh, shit.
Well, there are Star Trek references, like, you know, because when he's down there and the crew has left, just, you know, look around and make an improvised weapon or something, you know, like, and that's a direct reference to Kirk. If you've seen the old, he gets beamed down to fight the Gorn. Lizard people, captain, and he puts together and makes a firearm. You know, he finds sulfur and charcoal and gunpowder. What makes gunpowder? Whatever.
Did he ever have a episode with his shirt off?
Oh my God, yes.
Okay, it's because that's why I was like, I thought I remember him having his shirt off.
Mm-hmm. And they make references of that. Oh, so you managed to get your shirt off?
Kirk. This is the joke. You know, Kirk should have every sexually transmitted space disease there was. Anyway. We could talk about all that stuff, but that brings us to the midpoint, all this fun and game stuff. Is there anything we want to talk about any of that stuff?
I thought it was funny. They called the little, those little miners.
Yeah.
Oh, they look like children.
Well, this seemed like Jurassic Park to me. Go ahead.
And then whenever they translated what they were saying about
Rock.
No, when they translated what they were saying about Tim Allen, they said, he looks like a child or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So I guess their children are.
Oh, I got you.
I don't know.
Maybe big to small or whatever.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Because it reminded me of Jurassic Park with Newman in the rain or whatever. Oh, you're not so bad. You look cute or whatever. And this little cute thing, you know.
What?
In Jurassic Park, when he sees the little, he's trying to.
Oh yes.
Winch his
stick.
Taste the stick.
Yeah, good. Right. Little.
Oh yeah.
And then of course it turns out.
No wonder you're extinct.
Yeah. Right. All right. I have a midpoint false defeat. What do you guys have? Because I was not completely sure about this.
After the sphere though.
Yeah, they load the sphere, and then that's where I sort of around that point pinpoint. My midpoint false defeat. I don't know if that's accurate. I don't even know if it's exactly halfway through. But everything else up to that point I thought was, you know, fun and game stuff. Unless you want to talk about the ship being damaged as a false defeat.
I think that's what I had because I had my notice broke the bloody ship. But as it was going along, I felt like maybe that was too early.
And I feel like mine was a little too late. So I think it's around in there somewhere. Because they need us to... Okay, so minefield, they need a new sphere. On the planet looking for a new sphere.
It's so, like all the rock stuff, you know, that was still all fun and games.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I had the opposite thought. I thought that was a false victory. Like getting the spear, beating the rock guy, that's a false
victory. Which could still, I mean, midpoint, right? Just false victory.
Yeah.
And then the false defeat at the end is when the airlock is sucking out, killing all of them.
Yeah, because the only reason I have it as a false defeat, and this was purely a sort of a guess or a feeling, it's because the captain is lost. They make it back to the crew with the sphere, to the ship with the sphere. Okay, but they lost their captain. And he's down there, and they don't know how to get him back and really survive.
Yeah, I did have, I guess it's always lost. It's a false defeat where it says, tell Balthazar the truth, right? So
yeah, that's good too.
Yeah.
So if that's false feat, then to James' point, you got to have a false victory somewhere prior and maybe get in the sphere. And
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah,
after he escapes the rock.
Yeah. Okay, we'll go with that because I like that better.
Because then the bad guy, Saris, whatever, shows up after that, right?
Yeah, because I have my bad guys close in as the rock monster and the bad transport, which I'm not comfortable with. So I think your guys' ways are better.
Hmm.
You know, because they try to transport him up, and the first thing they do turns inside out and explodes.
Yeah.
All is lost. Okay, yeah, so all is lost. The crew begins to doubt their ability. Like, so that, you know, and maybe this is where it occurs when they tell them the truth, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They all start to think, we're not who you think we are. You know, they even begin to doubt themselves as a crew or right. anything. And then I have Dark Knight of the Soul. The truth is revealed to Malthazar. The aliens are to be killed. The heroes seem powerless and the aliens are suffocating.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that was the lowest part of the movie where they have to break the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's sad.
Dark Knight of the Soul. Yeah.
You're talking about when they were telling that poor little guy that they were lying.
Actors and
lying. He said lying to him.
Yeah. Lying.
Tell him like you would a child.
A child. Yeah. And the idea, you know, and it's the pure innocence and faith of the aliens. The idea that you could have any characteristics like Sauron is ridiculous. And they start laughing right. like it's not even worth entertaining.
Right.
And they're sitting there eating shit, you know. Yeah, so I think that's at least the Dark Knight of the Soul. It's got to be the lowest part of the movie. The truth is revealed.
Yeah, because in the Breaking of Three is when they realize, I think it's Rickman that comes up with a bit they did, their character did from the
yep.
script or whatever from the show that gets them out of the real world situation where they fake a fight or whatever.
Yes, because at that point, Rickman...
But it's... They're embracing who they are, right? It's
yes.
on the show, but they're embracing who they are.
Yes. When, I don't remember the guy's name. I don't know if I wrote it down. The one who dies with Rickman, his sort of counterpart, that's when Rickman sort of embraces his character. Up to that point, because when they're trying
He says the line that he doesn't ever want to repeat. Yeah.
Yes. And prior to that, before he died, they were trying to pry the door open. And the alien says, we should use the strength chant. And Rickman's like, oh, no, I'm not doing that.
Right.
But to appease him, they start doing it. And lo and behold, the door opens. And I think at that point, he's warming up to it. But at the death of that guy that has been his counterpart throughout the movie, because then Rickman turns and attacks.
Right. Isn't that Rainn Wilson, the guy that dies?
No,
different guy. Okay.
Yeah, it was. He says his alien name.
Yeah, the taller with the dark hair. Yeah.
Yes.
And he said that he always thought of Rickman as his father.
Yeah. So there's this, yes. And I think Rickman at that point, yeah. Leading us to the break into three, reaching out to the nerd I have, fighting their way through the ship, the choppers, transporting the rock monster. So basically, at this point, they're on the offensive.
Yeah.
I think they've all had their low moments with the death and the suffocating and having to lie, almost their dig deep down, to the point where they begin to function as a crew
right.
and embrace their roles, right? You know, coming up with, because, you know, Captain Kirk, it was always like this with Kirk, you know, things look the darkest and then he's going to pull something out of his hat and they make reference to that, you know,
right?
At the last minute or whatever, you know, Kirk changing the rules to the Kobayashi Maru test. And
right, even Guy, who thought he was a red shirt, becomes the plucky psychic.
Yeah, yeah. Shalhoub says, maybe you're the plucky
Comic
comedic
relief,
side.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
I think his name was Melek. I have Melek dies, Hightower surprise. Now, I did have a couple of...
Quellic. Yeah, I see it here. Quellic.
Quellic, okay. I had two Hightower surprises. That guy dying, Quellic, because they get open and they save the aliens, and then all of a sudden, he's shot. Like, they think they're safe now, and then Quellic is shot. And
when he has to use the sphere to turn back time. Yeah. Is that what you mean?
Well, it's... No, it's when Rickman sort of embraces his role and turns around and attacks.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They save their crew from suffocating, and you think, okay, good, everything's fine now here. And then there's an errant shot, and he gets shot and dies, and maybe that's when he told him, I always considered you my father or whatever.
Wouldn't that be a dig deep down?
Well, I mean, it would definitely, it's a setback. So that was my first Hightower surprise, right? So they're storming the tower and they're having success, but now there's this setback. But I also had it.
Yeah, because it's different. If each of them, we talked about earlier, like their debate, right? Tim Allen kind of embraced it, and then you kind of see them have their debate and then decide to break into two. You got to see them kind of embrace each of the characters, embrace their role, and then break into three. So, because the whole fight thing, let's fake a fight, that was to save their lives. At that point, Alan Rickman's character is not invested in being, you know, I don't remember his name, but the, you know what I mean? Like, he's not invested in, until that guy dies, now he's invested.
Yeah, now he says
the words and means them. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's even a little emotional, a little bit.
It has all come home for him now.
In this silly little movie, you have this emotional beat. Yeah.
Yes. You know.
Which, real quick, any other actor could not have pulled off. No. Like Alan Rickman and the wig and the thing and the hair coming out.
Prosthetics, yeah.
And he had that emotional moment because looking ridiculous.
He is a refined man of the theater, right? I mean, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, no, right. And record, so
you got to get someone with some chops to be able to pull off this silliness right here. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Or I guess seriousness in us and, you know, all the silly. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
He was a dude playing another dude.
That's right. Yeah, but I forgot his hair was coming out. That's right. You know,
yeah, throughout the movie, like the costume kind of.
Oh, yeah, no, it's starting to get ragged. The bad aliens are defeated. I guess they've invaded the ship and they defeat them on the ship. And the captain. Starts to take real command. Now he's functioning as a real captain over a real crew, whereas before it was nothing like that. Saurus, or whatever his name is, goes on the offensive and says, you know, something, you know, go right at him or whatever, and they say, well, they're coming right at us. So there's this pulling it out of the hat kind of thing. They go straight at the enemy, and even at that point, we don't know what the plan is. Like, why is he just charging him, and he says, "I have more firepower than you, whatever." And then, well, my ship is dragging mines, and I thought that was a pretty good reveal and a pretty good tip of the hat to that kind of thing that would occur in Star Trek, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that Kirk would do, yeah,
yeah. All this to lead to the final image, which is the tight crew, the captain embracing the roles, them embracing the roles. They're no longer, because then they go back to Earth, right? And
yeah, but we skip right. Like I'm not imagining this. Like I said, it's a couple weeks since I saw it, but they used the sphere, right? He shows up and shoots
back time, yeah.
Back time.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's true, yeah. So that was my second Hightower surprise, right? Because because the bad guy comes in. Because
you think everything's fine, and then he comes in and
shoots.
So you skipped over it. The mines that they were carrying crashed into Saurus's ship.
Yes.
And they think it's all done, and then get the alert.
There was an impulse right before the explosion.
And then Saurus comes out
and kills everybody.
Or after the mines.
Shalhoub, he looked like whatever Shalhoub's name was. Fred.
Yeah.
And then kills everybody.
Yes.
So they do the turn back time.
Yeah. So when I saw that, I thought, okay, maybe that's the Hightower surprise because they have achieved victory, but no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hightower surprise is Saurus survived.
Yeah. That makes sense. And they do the because I have written down here Hightower surprise and the Omega 13 device.
Because there's a line in there, something about
fix a 13 time,
fix one mistake or something.
Yeah.
13 seconds or whatever it was, enough time to fix.
Yeah. Okay, I like that.
They do it, and then he shoots the Tony Shalhoub Fred character.
Yes.
Right as he steps out, everybody freaks out,
punches him, and
and then they go home.
Well, the ship crashed, like the real ship crashes through the.
Yeah.
Building.
Yeah, into the building. Yeah. But what happened to Saurus? They shot him?
No, he comes to Earth.
But he comes back with
them. I guess he's knocked out on the ship.
There's a third Hightower.
Because he attacks him on the stage or whatever, because everybody thinks it's great.
Yeah, it's a simulation, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
But they use the communicator with Justin Long back at the home planet.
Yes, and if you think there aren't nerds who are into that...
We totally skipped over that. Would that be a B story? Him trying to communicate with Justin Long back on Earth, going, yes, it's all real. We need the schematics for the fucking engine room, and we got to get through here and the timing.
Yeah, I did skip over because I didn't. Because
there are a couple of things I wanted to talk about on that.
Highlight everything.
He was utilizing nerds on Earth with their magical.
I
feel like that's just him embracing. Who he is.
No, totally agree.
Yeah, but because
they land at the end of the movie, they get
the B story almost has to be the aliens, right? Their worship and admiration, and complete faith in them.
They're the ones that carry the theme and make them change. Yeah, right.
So would you say that
aren't they the ones that say never give up, never surrender 1,000 times?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so how would the Justin Long character and the nerds were just
that's
there?
Because it's gathering the team, right? Okay, so. In the break into three in the Hightower, you gather the team.
Yeah, they set up the comlink thing at the beginning, and then they call back to it at the end. That's
utilized.
And then
to
they
break.
Utilize it. Yeah.
So that's good. Yeah. They're definitely.
He also scorned him, and now he's embracing him. And
and again, if the theme is never give up, never surrender, when he contacts Justin Long,
he'd given up.
He'd given up. Yes, I know it's a TV show, but it's all real. I knew it, you know.
Right. Take out the trash.
Well, I was going to say. I can almost feel his stress of, you know, running outside. You know, the timer was counting down, and it's like, where is this guy? Oh, no, he's taking out the trash because his mom made it.
Yeah, yeah. He's trying to save the world here, Ma, you know.
Yeah, it's like almost like, ugh.
Just FYI, Ma, you know.
But that and then when they were going through their little maze, you know, how they had to go
through. Who designed the ship? This is bad writing.
Right, with the little choppy things and stuff.
Yes,
right.
What?
My thing was, did I miss something? Because it took so much to get to it.
And then all of a sudden they're back on the bridge.
All of a sudden they're back. Did they have to go back through the maze, or they just were back?
It's just bad writing. Like,
well, I mean, but the, what's her name says that about the, yeah, exactly. Who puts this on a ship?
Right. Yeah, so it's like you get to the center, and then there's just an exit door that takes you right back to the bridge.
I could have taken this.
But there's a scene. So apparently, when this movie was the first edit of it, it was a bit darker.
Oh, was it?
And so there's a scene when they walk into that engine room, and the things are hammering down. You see Sigourney Weaver say, fuck this.
Yeah.
But they edited it and she says, screw this.
Yeah, sure.
You can still see her mouth. Oh, fuck this.
Yeah. No, I would be. Yeah. No. That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. To make it a little bit more family friendly, they
sure
voiced over that.
Yes.
That's funny.
All right. Mm. I mean, that's probably, you know, the fastest review. We used to do these under an hour. I just think this was a fun movie.
So at the end when they crash the ship,
yeah,
and they finally kill Saris. They finally kill.
Yes,
the whole audience. It's like
think it's a part of the show.
They think now this whole character crew is now bought into the cons.
Sure,
okay, but they're gonna think that till they go out to the parking lot and see their car has been thrown up in the air.
Right,
because how many cars did they destroy?
Yeah.
With that ship landing.
Yeah, there's
that
no
was my only thing.
We don't see the aftermath.
Yeah, the real world. Like, oh wait, they just killed a real alien,
and they just went through the wall.
Yeah, this alien DNA does not match with any Earth creature.
Right.
You know, yeah, but I guess it's up. in the world of for the movie, right? Like it's the whole thing's about them embracing who they are.
Yeah,
the fans need to see that they're actually doing it too.
Yes, right?
I mean that's why I guess again for Saris, this guy can't fucking die. Comes back 8 times,
right?
Because it's, you know what I mean. The fans need to see him get killed by them as well.
Because at the beginning he's late and the fans are out there bring us the captain or whatever.
Right,
mm-hmm. Like he's disrespecting his fans and they're voicing their objection.
Right.
And so the fans, by the end, have nothing to object to.
They're willing to have their car get fucked up.
Yeah, well, sure. But they are being rewarded by them embracing
exactly.
Never giving up, never surrendering.
Never giving up, never surrendering. Yeah,
they're all a crew
now,
and they're all embraced it. And
yeah.
They're going to make millions of dollars now.
Yes.
Well, they started the series back up, too, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
I think so, yeah.
Sure that, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no mention of the crash in the Colosseum, the hundreds dead.
Or the earth-shattering revelation that there is life out there.
Right.
Well, the reason they started the show is because they all got sued and they had to...
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's money. It.
And here we go. Not that kind of movie, kid.
Well, the... Exactly. Was it... Who is the basis for the Who? Is it Entwistle?
Yeah.
Yeah. He would call Pete Townsend, and this is as far as what I've heard. He would call Pete Townsend all the time saying, look, we got to go on tour. I'm out of money.
Uh-huh. That's right. I think when John Entwistle died, he was staying terrible. In a hotel, and he was just about broke.
Yeah, he was like, I don't know if this is true, but I almost want to say they found him in debt with 2 hookers and a line of blow.
Right. It was something of that nature.
Yes.
Waste all that money.
Huh? Oh, my God.
Well, he had a good time. You can't take it with you.
Yeah, and there was nothing for him to take.
He went out a rock star.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't do drugs, kids. No.
No, don't do drugs. All right, well.
Hookers are okay, just not drugs.
Well.
Escorts. You don't want to skank hookers. Just
women of the night.
Right.
Or the afternoon. You know, can't stay up that late.
Or
Soiled Doves.
What was that?
I've never heard that form in my life. Soiled
Doves. Unforgiven. That was the Unforgiven episode.
Yeah.
Well, that's an actual term from the Old West.
Yeah. Soiled Doves?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where I learned
that.
It.
There was that one show that had the Patty the Daytime Hooker.
That's My Name is Earl.
Yes. Yeah.
I love that show.
I wish
every time I see her now, I call her, oh, there's Patty the Daytime Hooker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grief.
I'm sorry. No. It just makes me laugh every time.
That's a great show.
It is.
Earl. Earl, what is it called again?
My name is Earl.
My name is Earl.
It's on Hulu.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm. I wish they wouldn't have canceled it so soon anyway. Anyway. All right, well, I mean, that's Galaxy Quest. It's a fun romp.
We got to pass consider recommend it.
Yes, sir, we do. Any other thoughts before we do that? No? All right, let's pass consider. All right, this was my pick. I recommend it. I love this movie. It's fun. It's not going to change your life, but it's fun, you know, and it has just enough homage to, you know, Star Trek and the whole con community that it's a fun, mm-hmm. fun movie. Recommend. Okay.
I recommend it too. And I don't remember you when you brought up the words, how they changed the language. I think it is fun for a kid to watch because it shows, I don't know, it almost takes you back to your childhood when they were play acting, but then they get to live it out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And actually go and do that. And I don't know, it was just a fun movie for me.
It is.
So I recommend.
Yep. Total recommend for me. I've loved it since the day it came out. It is the best Star Trek movie. If you are not into sci-fi, if you're not into the whole thing,
right.
This is just a good standalone movie that might let you let your guard down and realize sci-fi is not so bad. Like, this is a good step.
Yeah, yeah. No, sci-fi doesn't have to be heavy all the time.
Yeah, this is just a good, fun movie.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, it was a, I guess, consider for me.
Again?
Yeah, again, yeah.
Boy, Chris is tough today.
He's saving those.
Yeah. He's I might give my love out too easily, apparently. I'm just a trashy whore of a movie review.
I don't love enough. I don't know. Just consider.
Okay. No, that's fine.
You're a Star Trek fan, right? You like these kinds of, you know, like you said, things that, you know, satire type stuff. Yeah, check it out. But I don't know that it's for everybody.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. It's fine. I laughed.
No, I hear you.
See, I would recommend it to people that aren't Star Trek fans. Like, that's the kind of thing is, like, it's a good stepping stone for anybody. Kids movie, family movie.
I don't know. I guess there's other Tim Allen movies I'd, recommend over this one, I guess.
Oh,
well. I don't know. I mean, well, now hold on. There's a movie, Big Trouble. I have the.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
like that one.
That's probably going to be one of my picks.
Yeah, that is a good movie. I'm not into the Toy Stories. I'm not into the Santa Clauses. A lot of Tim Allen movies.
The first
I'm not
Santa Claus.
Huh?
I like the first Santa Claus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this one and Big Trouble I could watch all the time. The other Tim Allen movies, I guess I'm not.
I like
another one I've seen. I just can't think. Yeah, sitcoms. There's another sitcoms show, another movie I've seen with it. I just can't think what it is now. I don't think it's a Bit Trouble, though. Anyhow, but yeah, just.
Was it Wild Hogs or something?
Yeah, that was pretty good. John Travolta. There you go. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Tim Allen, legitimately, Tim Allen's been in some great movies.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Yeah, Wild Hogs. That one's pretty good.
I asked Philip this question after we watched the movie or before. I can't remember. Do you think Tim Allen, who was a stand-up, and he may still do stand-up, I don't know.
Probably. Yeah.
Who was a stand-up comedian, is one of the most successful in TV and movies?
Probably.
And drug dealing.
Yeah. There's been some problems.
He was big into drug dealing before comedy and TV.
But I know, like, Jerry Seinfeld stand-up is probably one of the most successful
in the show.
Television. But I'm talking Tim Allen has done movies, and he has another series out.
Stuff. Yeah, probably.
Yep. He has like three TV series that were out.
Sure, and they all did well, yeah.
Yeah, because Home Improvement, Last Man Standing, then what's the new one?
There's a new one, yeah. I don't
know. The one with Kat Dennings?
Yeah.
It's pretty much like Last Man Standing, in my opinion, though.
Yeah. It's very similar, yes.
Republican dad, daughter comes home, odd couple situation.
I like Last Man Standing. I don't know if I can watch this one because it's so similar.
I really liked Last Man Standing.
I did too.
We didn't watch it until I think it was completely over.
Sure.
It was gone. Yeah, I don't know.
I can't think of anybody. I mean, Seinfeld obviously is monetarily the most successful out of the TV show.
I mean, you'd have to reach
about Eddie Murphy, but he didn't have a TV show, right?
You'd have to
like stand-up comedy and then movies, but he didn't have a TV show.
Well,
like,
I'm thinking Saturday
Night Live, but not a TV show where he was the main guy. Yeah,
Steve Martin.
Steve Martin.
A lot of movies, a lot of
and now he
originally
has
stand-up.
And now he has.
He's done Last Murders in the Building now.
Murders in the Building,
but maybe not as many series as
Tim Allen.
Well, Tim Allen was a product of the era of Roseanne getting her own show and a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
Seinfeld, just all these people.
Yeah, the Wayans brothers were in there too.
Yeah, if you were a stand-up, they tried to give you money to point, get a TV show.
Yeah.
And then hopefully it would work out. So there's been a bunch that tried to make that.
Yeah, but for some reason, like, because like I said, he had the number one book, number one movie, and number one TV show all at the same week or something.
You're probably right, Sherry. I don't know. I can think of anybody that was.
Yeah, not at all.
That level of success on all the tiers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Huh. Yeah.
Props to Tim Allen. Good Tim Allen.
Cool.
And a good dude, it seems.
Mm-hmm. So. I've heard mixed reviews. Well, I've heard he was a good dude. And then there was some story, and I don't remember who said it. Or
well, don't say it if it's just rumor.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Okay.
Allegedly. That he would like tell cast members, you know, like his agents and the set hands would say, no, don't look Tim Allen in the eye. He doesn't like to be, you know, all that kind of bullshit. But
that might have been years ago. I don't
know that that's
not like that.
Something I've heard prevailing.
But then again, I always wondered, you know, I never would have thought Ellen would have been complained about.
She's self-destructed, man. I don't know what happened to her.
I don't know.
You know.
Yeah, I always think that there's a reason behind all those things. Like, you hear those stories. It's like, yeah, well, probably one guy one time was annoying, and he lightly asked his assistant, hey, don't let those guys in. And then the assistant asked people, and then it snowballed.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Next thing you know, Tim Allen's an asshole. Don't look him in the eye.
Because right. I think if he was hard to work with, he would not be getting shows over and over again and movie roles over.
Like the stories you hear about those people, and then they die off.
Yeah,
well, that makes sense.
How much have you heard of Shia LaBeouf lately? I mean, every now and then.
Nobody wants to work with him. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody wants to work with him. You know,
because they're assholes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you see the, you know, well, this celebrity was an asshole. I tried to get their autograph once, or you see the, well, you're constantly bombarded. You're trying to live your life, have a dinner or whatever, and then fans coming up messing with you. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's got to get old.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where, like we're talking about, you go to a Comic Con or you go somewhere where you,
it's structured.
Yes, you get paid, but they know why they're there for, and they're.
Yes.
Yeah, as opposed to being bombarded while they're just trying to walk down the street.
Yeah, and that goes back to the on the clock, off the clock
type of thing. Yeah, like if I saw a celebrity in public, I don't, as much as I want to go up and say hi, I would feel bad about trying to bother them while they're living.
Yeah, no,
there is one person that I would, if I saw him, that I would definitely.
Tom Selleck.
No.
Chad Kroger.
Yeah, but no, not that's not who I'm talking about.
I thought there was one.
There's one that I wouldn't feel bad about going up to.
Oh, okay.
And that's Conan O'Brien. Because he says he's had people say, okay, I got to go now, because he will stand there and talk your ears off.
I've been watching a lot of Conan O'Brien stuff lately. He's hilarious.
He is. Listen to his podcast. His podcast will make you cry. It's funny as shit.
I think that if you were in the room with him and you couldn't read the humor, he's probably really mean because he's so dry.
You're sure.
But because you know it's Conan, it's fucking hilarious.
Fucking hilarious, yeah.
Especially when he's going back and forth with, what's her name?
His
Sonia.
Sona. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Yeah, they're hilarious.
Yeah, there was one that I saw, like, where he was interviewing Harrison Ford or whatever.
Oh.
And Harrison Ford, of course, talking about people that, you know, are so dry that come off as mean. Like, he Harrison Ford said, I see you got Han Solo written over there and circled. You had to write that down? Like, it's fucking terrible. Like, I'm sure Conan knows who he is and knows that he played Han Solo. I don't know what note. But yeah. Harrison Ford solid decided on the air to give him shit.
Yeah, no. It's funny. All right. We gave our past considers and all that, so we good?
Yeah.
Any other thoughts? That is a clean hour, sir, so we'll... And some of that last 10 minutes was banter, so maybe like 55 minutes or something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's a tight movie. It's a fun movie.
It is. Tight, fun movie, yeah. Not gonna rock your world, but you're going to have a good time.
Yeah, get some popcorn, a soda. Enjoy.
All right.